Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today, again, is the author of the Lid book, the feedback book, Dawn Sillett. How are you today, Dawn?
I'm good, thank you, Miro. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And for those who were listening before, Dawn is our featured guest for this week's series of podcasts, and we'll be talking on a variety of subjects. And if you listened to our previous podcast, you would have had some very interesting insight of the topic of collaboration. However, for today's podcast, we will be discussing well-being. Today is all about well-being, Dawn. Like collaboration, well-being has become a bit of a buzzword in the last couple of years, and we've seen all sorts of sectors, all sorts of gurus, speakers, companies talk about it. Why do you think that is?
I think it is a bit of a buzzword, and I think it's because people are starting to expect well-being programs at work. People are now very conscious of just how many hours they're putting in the day job, as well as being always on, as well as the commute, which seems to be taking ever longer. So well-being's gone up the agenda for people.
One factor that gets a really bad rep when it comes to well-being is technology. But is it really the culprit? Is it the biggest obstacle that we face? Or is it something that is just sort of come along for the ride?
I think actually we're the culprit. The technology, you know, we hit the button. It doesn't do it all by itself.
Right.
We pick the phone up. We look at it while we're eating. We double screen. Those things didn't turn themselves on. We did. So we are the culprit. And the technology is but a tool that we're misusing.
Do you think that perhaps we can turn ourselves around and make it our ally? Because one thing I hate is waking up in the morning and the first thing I do is grab my phone. Do you think that there's some way that I personally can get rid of this habit?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, it's a negotiation in our house, Mira, you're not alone, about, okay, when does the technology go off? You know, we don't have technology in the bedroom other than the alarm clock on the phone, and put it on airplane mode. So then you've got to fire the thing up in the morning. But
yes.
Do we do emails before breakfast? No. And I have a thing where I don't do any emails until I've had some food and some tea, and then I switch it on.
Then the decision making really
yes, after the cereal
ramps
the
up absolutely
kicks in. Yes.
Now it's interesting that you say that. And going back to work, I would imagine companies and employers in the creative industries, which you work a lot with, they're much more open to focusing on employee well-being, I would imagine, than the more corporate sort of classical style of management and leadership. Do you think it's a matter of time before the big corporations really follow suit?
I think the creative industries understand the links between well-being and creativity, and so they're at pains to do what they can to take care of it. I think in big corporates where that link might not be so obvious, you can understand why it may have taken some of them a little longer to catch on. But I've come across quite a few that have, and they're easily up there with what some of the more innovative creative companies are doing in terms of what they have available for people. I think the ones that get it right don't impose systems, they offer choices. So that, you know, not everyone wants to eat the same food. Well, nor does everyone want the same particular well-being initiative. Some might want Pilates, some might want yoga, and some might want cinema vouchers, and some might want to be able to come in at 10 o'clock after a school run.
Right, right, absolutely. So whose responsibility is employee well-being predominantly? The individual looking after himself or herself? Or is it the organisation putting in practices in place to facilitate this?
It's an interesting question. I think if we're not careful, we can allow individuals to give up responsibility for their own well-being, with the organisation, the employer, acting as some kind of parent, doing all the there then for them. And I don't think that's a healthy way to go either. So if it's a case of, oh, they're there now, we're going to give you on-site massage and this, that and the other thing, and days off and charity days and da-da-da, it's all a bit indulgent. And I think as individuals, we also need to take some responsibility ourselves for our own well-being. And sometimes that requires us to stand up for ourselves and say, do you know what, I'm leaving at six, I've got a class, for example. So I think we need to take some responsibility too. It's our well-being.
And in that way, I would imagine we give the right feedback to the employer, who then can realise if they're doing something right, if they're doing something wrong. So again, it goes back to a point we made in our previous podcast, which was all about the communication link and making sure that it does not break, essentially. However, how important is it to identify personal goals and values for well-being?
Personal goals and values for well-being, I think that's a good one, and I think too often we don't factor them in. Often our goals are about much more concrete things, like I want to be promoted, or I want to have made X number of thousands of sales. We put metrics on it, and it's often about external stuff to do with the organisation. And I think it is worth having some goals about well-being. How often are we going to get a good night's sleep? How often are we going to wake up feeling rejuvenated? How often are we going to exercise? How often are we going to get out into the country? How often are we going to read purely for pleasure? Those are all things that we could factor in as goals for our own well-being.
And I would imagine they would add up over time. And as they say, the little things really do make a big difference.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
So do you have any top tips for day-to-day stress management?
For day-to-day stress management, turn the thing off.
Turn it off.
Yeah, definitely have. I'm a big one for a tech curfew. There's so much evidence out there now that the blue light emitted from these things. I think an old-style Kindle is the only handheld device that doesn't do it. But laptops, iPads, phones, tablets emit the electricity, the way they're wired, the way they work, they emit what's called a blue light. And that does affect us on quite a deep neurological level, and it sends a big stay awake signal. So it's actually really quite hard to unwind and for the body's normal rhythms to say, hey, guess what, it's time to go to sleep, when there's this thing beaming at us saying, guess what, you've got to stay awake.
Right, absolutely.
So tech curfews are a good thing. Start winding the tech down. Make winding the tech down part of the starting to get ready to go to bed routine. Yes. Rather than having to reach out at the last minute and remember to turn the light off on it.
And don't let it wake you up in the morning, preferably as well.
Preferably.
Great. And on that bombshell, actually, again, thank you very much for joining us today, Dawn. If you liked the second podcast in our series with Dawn on well-being, you should definitely check out the first, where we talk about collaboration. And Dawn will be joining us again next time, where we will be talking about people management. So we look forward to seeing you on the next LID Radio podcast. And thank you very much, Dawn, for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for the listeners of LID Radio.